Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Ed Harry. Coming up, following the verbal sparring between the captains, how will England's and West Indies players now respond on the pitch? Just a point away from the title, but something's overshadowing Manchester United's success.
Kevin scored a brilliant goal! A backheel on the edge of the penalty area! A bit of South American magic from Carlos Tevez, who scores again! And really, will those Manchester United fans ever allow him to leave?
Elsewhere, the Denver Nuggets make the Western Conference final in the NBA playoffs. First, though, the second and final cricket test between England and West Indies is due to begin shortly at Durham in the northeast of England. Lee James is our reporter at the Riverside Ground, Chesterley Street, for this one. Lee, this has really been overshadowed, hasn't it, by a row between the two captains. Andrew Strauss saying Chris Gayle should have left more time to prepare for this series rather than playing on in the Indian Premier League. And then Gayle suggesting it's no wonder Strauss prefers test cricket to 2020 because of his limited success in the shorter game. Very unusual for the build-up to a test match to have got this personal.
Absolutely, Ed. It's certainly made a difference, hasn't it? Chris Gayle is out there at the moment with his West Indies teammates going through their warm-up ahead of the match. Sweaters and tracksuits very much needed on a chilly day at the Riverside in the northeast of England. Gayle has been quick to emphasise that his preference for 2020 cricket over Test cricket was an assessment of his own career. He insists he had no immediate plans to abandon Test or the West Indies captaincy, but certainly there has been reaction. We know there have been calls from the Caribbean for him to be replaced. Dr. Julian Hunt, the president of the board, has also said he's going to seek an immediate explanation, and this is bound to have an effect on the whole spirit of the team. This is a West Indies side that were beaten inside 3 days by England at Lord's in the opening test. They have to win this match if they're to level the two-match series. And Strauss, well, leapt to the defence of Test cricket. He feels it's the primary format of the game. He firmly believes Test cricket should continue to be the number one format. It's the only one that really tests your temperament, your technique, your hunger and bravery. All those qualities the West Indies will need to display today.
Lee, you're up there at the ground of the reigning county champions, and in the past when the ECB has given them England games against teams lower down the Test or the one-day rankings, the seats have still sold, but not so on this occasion. We heard from Paul Collingwood earlier in the week on the World Service, a local, suggesting maybe the region's Premier League teams fighting relegation was one reason why the cricket's been taking a back seat. But, you know, the prices, the scheduling, is there a bit more to this?
I think there is. It's the timing as well. It's still very early in the English summer. It is very chilly here. There is the forecast for wet weather over the next 5 days as well. At the moment, we've got just an hour or so to go to the start of the test. There are an awful lot of empty seats. You would expect that, but we don't expect them to fill up that much. We've had three tests before here in the past. England have won them all, and we have had some decent crowds, but there's accusations that it's too expensive, just too early in the season. And Chris Gayle, you know, may have a point. If Test cricket is to remain the number one format, then the administrators also need to look at it as well, how it's marketed, and to show the sport in its best light.
Thanks, Lee. More from Lee James at the England-West Indies Test match in our later bulletins. To football then, a point at home to Arsenal on Saturday will now be enough for Manchester United to secure the English Premier League title for the third year in a row, with a game to spare. That follows Wednesday's 2-1 victory at Wigan, where Tevez and Carrick scored as United came from behind. More from the BBC's chief football correspondent, Mike Hingham.
Well, almost a year to the day since securing the title at Wigan, Manchester United virtually ensured retention of it at the same venue, scoring at the same end as Ryan Giggs did so memorably 12 months ago. But it took the hunger and drive of champions to rescue this game after Wigan had troubled them greatly. Just as in the recent second-half comeback against Spurs, Sir Alex Ferguson turned to all four of his famous forwards to get him out of difficulty. And once again, it was Carlos Tevez coming on as a substitute who grabbed another of this season's most significant goals. And Tevez didn't need to make any gestures this time. The moment spoke for itself.
Well, those gestures towards the bench came after scoring last Sunday against Manchester City, suggesting Tevez was asking United's manager whether he could hear the crowd's cheers. Well, Sir Alex Ferguson said after that United had made Tevez an offer to stay, but the player's advisor, Kio Jurabchin, claims United have not yet taken up the option to buy the striker. United's assistant manager, Mike Phelan, says he hopes Tevez will still be there next season.
The situation with Carlos Tevez is he's a Manchester United player. He's a terrific player. We know the skills and everybody knows the qualities Carlos Tevez has. He's got qualities to be a Manchester United player, and hopefully that's the way it will be. Obviously there's a little bit of talking to be done, but the club will do that with Carlos and whoever it is, and hopefully we can come to some sort of agreement.
Manchester United's opponents in the final of this season's European Champions League, Barcelona, have just won the first leg of a possible treble. They beat Athletic Bilbao 4-1 to lift the King's Cup in Spain. Ashish Sharma has the details.
Barcelona won this cup with such style it was almost unbelievable. They started without Marquez and Abidal in defence and Henri and Iniesta in attack. And when Toquero headed in from a corner after just 8 minutes, a shock was on the cards. But that was the end of the final for Athletic. After that, they were run ragged and utterly broken by an incredible performance. Yaya Toure drifted past three players to rifle in an equaliser on the half hour. Messi was on hand to drill a loose ball inside the area 10 minutes after the restart. 2 minutes later, a superb one-touch counter-attack ended with Bojan slipping in the third, and a shabby free kick from the edge of the area completed the rout. Tears at the end for Athletic Bilbao, but Barca march on, and on Sunday they should confirm the league title, and then Manchester United stand in the way of a remarkable treble for a truly remarkable team.
Also a cup being won in Italy, Lazio lifting the Italian Cup after defeating Sampdoria 6-5 on penalties. The final itself had ended 1-1. To league action in France, Olympique Marseille have gone top of the first division there on goal difference after a 2-0 win at Nice. Second place Bordeaux with 2-1 winners at Valenciennes. And in the Scottish title race, Rangers 1-1 draw at Hibernian means Celtic remain top of the table above their Glasgow rivals on goal difference. Expectation is high in Angola following the appointment of Portugal's Manuel José as national team coach. Successful at club level with Al Ahly in Egypt, he's arrived on a one-year contract. Angola have failed to qualify for the 2010 World Cup finals, but they are to host the Africa Cup of Nations in January. But the Luanda-based sports journalist Silvio Kapwepwe believes José will be hard pushed to assemble a competitive squad between now and then.
If you ask me, is he going to achieve what the Angolans expect him to achieve at the African Nations Cup, the answer would be no, because he's got 6 months to work. In 6 months, remember that Angola is not, well, won't be playing World Cup qualifiers like the other African teams, but Angola will depend mostly on friendly matches and with the teams that are available to play against. So it's going to be a bit difficult, but we're hoping for the best, and we're all going to be supporting Manuel José for him to do his job.
In basketball's NBA playoffs, the Denver Nuggets are through to the Western Conference Final after a 124-110 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. It's the first time Denver have reached the Western Conference Final since 1985. Their head coach, George Karl, says his team fear no one.
We're good enough to make some noise. We're good enough to... We're playing basketball at a really nice level. And as I said, after the first series, I was proud of... But I think our team is a good basketball team, a very good basketball team. And I have a deep feeling that we're not going to be messed up by the next round. We're going to make a team beat us. If someone beats us, I think we can live with that, but we're not going to give it to anybody.
Well, George Karl's thoughts are echoed by the beaten Dallas Mavericks star Dirk Nowitzki. He admitted the Nuggets were strong in every area of the court.
And they got all what it takes to be up there, to be a contender, you know. With Chauncey, they got veteran leadership. They got shooting from the outside. Melo can score in a lot of ways. They got the big guys who can battle in there. They got energy from the bench, scoring from the bench with Smith. So I think they got all the ingredients you need to be a great team and to be up there.
Our top story for you once again at the sports desk. Empty seats are a concern for English cricket as the test team prepares to face West Indies at Durham. The scheduling and the ticket prices in the current economic climate among the reasons being cited. More on our website, bbcworldservice.com.